And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today I actually have Anastasia Elfman here with me. I have Jason Pitts with me. We're here to break down Dexter Resurrection Episode 6, Cats and Mouse. So let's go ahead. Let's break this episode down. I'm excited to have them both here today. And hey, guys, welcome back. I do appreciate you guys taking the time out of your afternoon to talk about Dexter Episode 6, Cats and Mouse.
Awesome. Happy to be here, man.
Happy to have you back as well. So what I was going to say was I was not expecting them to kill off the other driver's mother so quickly. It was like, yeah, I just want to be remembered for who I am and be with everybody that knew me. And the next thing you know it, she dies. And now you were having to go through a whole entire funeral wake. And Harrison's there with him. And I like that moment of like, okay, I'm going to be there for my dad. And he winds up, and at first, Dexter was going to wear a hoodie. So I thought that was like a little fun, comical element to it that I was not expecting. Dexter would be like, hey, do you want, what should I wear? Is a hoodie okay? No, Dad, that's not okay. You're not supposed to wear that. But I liked a little bit of the dark humor with it. I also liked how he spoke about the mother, even though he didn't know her that well. And she's like, well, she just wanted to be there with everybody gathered around her talking about the memories. And at first we're thinking that because they're all going to be sad and they're all happy and joyful. So I like that little bit of moment, those moments with the family and stuff. What did you guys think of the opening?
Yeah, I thought it was, go ahead, Anastasia.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, yeah, I thought it was, it kind of showed how out of touch Dexter can be sometimes.
Right.
You know, him kind of thinking that it's okay to show up at a wake with a hoodie. And like in a hoodie, he's like, well, it's black. But that was a funny moment. But it also kind of shows sometimes just as smart as he is, how out of touch he is sometimes with like emotions and feelings and empathy. But I liked Dexter being or Harrison being the one there for him and saying, you know, kind of helping him through that, how to act a little bit normal in that situation. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I feel like we kind of jumped ahead of like with Harrison and Dexter, their like relationship, like it feels like they just fell right back into place. You know, like a kind of a normal father-son dynamic, you know, and kind of like asking for advice and stuff. So it feels like the rift is, it's mending, right. You know, they seem to be able to like work together well. But yeah, kind of out of the blue that the mother passes away, because she was such like a solid character. I thought we were going to have more of her. But what about that cat collection that she has and how I thought that the cat that Dexter picked to keep, that was my favorite out of all of the cats. Anyways, I like those type of like almost like 60s cats. And I actually want to get my own. It's so cute. But he kind of reminded me of like an arch villain, like holding, you know, the cat. How he was like, you know.
It was very... Right, he was very awkward with it, though, too. He picked up the biggest one inside the whole entire wake, and everybody has these little small ones, and he was like, well, if it was a dog, it would have bit me. So he picks it up, and he goes, well, I don't know what to say. And then he looks at the table, oh, yeah, her cooking was very nice. I really enjoyed her cooking. That's one thing I'm going to miss. And then, you know, and then he winds up quoting what the mother said, and then people got teary-eyed with it. So he was able to break certain barriers with his own awkwardness to be able to be related, make it relatable for them, for someone who lost somebody. And then I like how he actually takes his hand and basically acts like he had like a little bit of a tear and kind of wiped it away.
Yeah, he was mimicking how like a normal person would react when they lost somebody, right? Because he saw the granddaughter like shed a little tear and he's like, oh yeah, wait a second, I've got to do that too, you know?
Right.
He's like masking himself to fit in. But yeah, kind of an awkward speech too. I was like, that's all you're... I mean, I guess he doesn't really know her, so it's kind of weird that the family put so much... on him. Like, I feel like that was a weird move.
It felt weird.
Yeah. Like, it was weird, but I think it was...
He just met everyone, and now he's a speaker at her funeral. so awkward.
It's like they saw the TV show 6 Feet Under. It's like, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and get him to speak since he's part of the funeral home. because he... But still, I understand the awkwardness of a funeral and stuff and not knowing what to say or how to do. And especially when you're just thrown in there, especially when you don't even know this person from Adam and you're like, okay, well, I'll have to say something. So he actually did a pretty good job of actually looking around his surroundings and seeing what he can come up with, you know, on a whim. And he does it. He knocks it out of the park. And then you have Harrison, who's questioning his own self about what his future is. And he has the inspiration to probably go back to college, which I thought was actually pretty cool of him having the pamphlet. And then he throws it away. Is like, well, once he saw the tuition, he's like, nah, never mind.
Yeah.
But let's go on ahead. Let's talk about some of the other stuff. Like, let's see here. Where do you guys want to start at? Because I was wanting to jump around a little bit.
It was such a good episode. I guess we can just start like chronologically, right?
Okay.
It's so full. There's so much to talk about.
There's a lot.
It was a great episode.
I did too. Well,
let's talk about the whole fact that Leon calls Dexter outside of the apartment. He goes, "I'm outside your door." He's like, "What are you talking about?" And my mouth just fell open because we also see Charlie going through Red's apartment and everything. I was like, how the hell do you not explain that, Dexter? You have to at least get the mail that Red has or something. But I like how he was able to maneuver that. He's like, well, I figured since Charlie broke into my apartment last time, I need to go ahead and remove myself from that apartment and have a different address. But I also felt horrified at, like, is this guy really at his at the house that the real house that he stays at? Because that was my first initial thought, and I'm looking around, I'm like, okay, good, thank God.
my biggest question is, like, what about Red's work? Like, he's not showing up for work. Like, are they not, like, wondering where he's at?
True, but
I haven't seen Dexter, like, address that at all, or, like, you know, call and, like, pretend to be Red and quit or whatever. Like, that's just like, in my mind, that's just hanging out there, you know, because okay. I mean, he had a steady job that he went to. He just disappears and it doesn't seem like anybody cares, or like that's weird to me. That part of it,
it does have a little bit of a loophole, you know, not loophole, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because even with the whole thing where he calls up Harrison, I'm like, when did he get Harrison's number too, because we don't see them exchange numbers. But I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go in for the ride and turn that part off, because, you know, we're going to have those moments where something just doesn't add up. So I'm like, okay, I'll just go in for the ride because of the fact that this is Dexter. I'm in this for the long haul for all 10 episodes. So let's see what they're going to give us. Just as with you, Jason, with the whole entire fact of, you know, no one's calling Red up and saying, hey, why is your ass not at work? Why haven't you showed up? So, you know, it does cause some red flags, but at the same time, though, maybe they just terminated him after so many times of him not coming in and be like a no call, no show thing.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, I kind of felt like Dexter's being a bit sloppy with everything. Like, he's not tying up, like what you guys were saying about like the loose ends, and especially with Red, and he's trying to take over his life to continue to get to know and ultimately, I guess, like kill all of these serial killers. And so, yeah, I thought that that was like, as soon as we had that moment of Uma going in there, I was like, oh no, like she's, you know, we're panning.
He's busted. Yeah,
we're going through all of his stuff and she's doing like everything that you would do as like a private investigator, whoever she is. She's looking at like, oh, there's expired food, there's rotten food, you know, like nobody's been checking the mailbox, you know, all of these red flags.
Red flags.
Like, he's not here. Where is he? And so I was like, oh my God, of course he should maintain that. But that was a really good save on Dexter's part about I totally left that, you know, because you guys found me. So that was brilliant. Because, yeah, there were those moments where it's like, oh, my God, they're right outside of his actual home. And he's going to have to fight them or something. I don't know. But that's kind of the MO of the series, right? It's like we get so close to Dexter getting caught, and we're like holding our
on the
breath.
Edge of our seats, right?
But that's the thing. It's like we want to get as close to him getting caught, but not getting caught. You know, yeah. Like we always. I feel like any like true Dexter fan is like a fan of his and wants him to survive everything and everything yeah. be okay.
Exactly, because that's how I feel though too. I was like, okay, this has put a mark on Harrison though too, to where Leon might come after him, or the serial killers might come after him, or vice versa. You know, so that was my first thing, was like, how is this gonna what's gonna happen to Harrison? Because I go back to him, because whatever happens to Dexter also implicates also too to Harrison, because he's also putting Harrison in danger as well.
Yeah, because now Harrison is on everybody's radar, like Batista and the new detectives in New York. Like, he's on everybody's radar right now trying to solve that case, because, of course, we called it
right.
with the, you know, victim opening his mouth.
Right, because we both winded up saying this, though, Anastasia, remember? And you actually brought up the point. It's like, is the jewelry box going to represent every kill that she has? Are they going to look at the trophies that, well, this one does not belong in here because that was a kill from New York. And this is supposed to be her first victim. So how does that measure up?
Yeah, I was gagging because I knew as soon as, like, and my poor husband, because I every time, like, something hits me, I pause it. I'm like, let me tell you, they're going to, you know, something's going to happen here. And so he gets to hear all of my, like, fan theories while we're watching. But that was one of them. As soon as, like, she said, you're my first victim, I was like, okay, like, that's going to come back and, like, bite Dexter on his ass. Because, mm-hmm. you know, he doesn't know that she said that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't like being right because, like, I wanted to be tougher. But also, I'm like, oh, yay, called it.
Right, it's like I don't want to predict everything from A to B. I want some type of mystery in between, say, okay, right. Well, I was wrong about this prediction. But it's cool to actually have those moments, but at the same time, it's like I want something a little bit more richer for the writing aspect of it, to say, oh, I was wrong and I'm glad that this happened instead of what I had thought. So I totally get that. Going ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, I don't think it's a quit like the Gemini killer. It's not a coincidence that his victims are fathers and sons. We're eventually going to get to him going after Harrison and Dexter, almost 100% certainty.
Right. And I also like how they also mentioned the fact, and we talked about this too, Anastasia's like, well, if all these serial killers start disappearing, they're going to also question Dexter as well. And Dexter also mimics the same thing that we also said as well. So I was geeking out over that moment of Dexter actually thinking the way that we're thinking as well. So I thought that was pretty cool. Then we have, I think that when Leon called the other serial killers and saying that Mia would rat everyone out, that's what set everything in motion for everyone to kill Mia, to where he actually had to pay Charlie to hire somebody to kill Mia. So I think it was that scene in the afternoon is like,
I do not think Mia's dead.
I'm going to talk about that because I also don't think she's dead.
Yeah. That was way too like convenient, and we didn't see it happen, and the shots were very wide and we barely saw her body. Like, I don't think it's her.
Yeah.
I think Leon with his money set it up.
I think so too. I think she's alive.
Yeah, I do too.
Interesting. Okay. That would be great. But then also, she's coming for Dex.
Yeah. Right. Well, also too, she doesn't know that Dex was the one who placed the 911 call.
But so, I feel like she's going to put 2 and 7 together and, you know, do the math, you know, right. But especially with like other, because does she know that other serial killers are missing? Maybe, right?
Only
she
that knows- one. Only yeah. Neil Patrick Harris. She does not know about the twin, and the twin also doesn't know about his twin brother dying right now.
Does he? I don't know.
He probably knows that something's up if he hasn't heard from him. And
true.
He,
I feel
and like it's supposed to be the both of them there, I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that everybody in the group knows that there's two.
I don't even think Leon knows that there's two.
I think that that's a choice that they're making. I think maybe Dinklage and maybe Uma Thurman, maybe they know because they're Snoopy. Yeah. But I think that that's something that they're letting them, like, keep. Because when you, like, because I rewatched it again, too, with that.
I did do that, yeah.
That it seems like the actor David, he's playing them different. So we kind of see a different twin, you know, one that's more chaotic and, you know, just a little bit more suspicious. And then
narcissistic.
Yeah. And then, you know, it just seems like there's two going on. But I love that twist. I thought that was so good. And I love the line where he says, now that we're getting into it, because I've been holding back, but I love that line where he said, like, Dexter was like, who did you leave the note for? And he's like, myself.
Myself. Yeah.
So great. Like, as an actor,
when he said that, I was thinking like a split personality thing.
Right.
Where he doesn't like Memento or something, where he doesn't remember like the other part of him or something. I honestly, the twin thing caught me off guard and surprised me.
It caught me off guard the first time, but then I went back and rewatched it today and I looked at the scene where he's flipping through his cell phone and seeing the murders that the Gemini killer did. And I'm like, there's no way one person could kill two people in the same exact way, in a sense. So I'm like, yeah, he has a twin, but Dexter also didn't pick up on it either. My wife also said the same thing. She goes, you think that he would actually pick up on it? I said, don't forget, he's also a civilian now. He's not working for Miami Metro. So this is not Miami Metro Dexter. This is civilian lifestyle Dexter that only is using resources through his cell phone versus it through going where he normally does, is goes into his office, looks up criminal records. We're doing it through a different type of lens compared to Miami Metro Dexter.
Yeah. And also, I think he's like getting, like what I said, a little sloppy with some of his stuff for whatever reason. But I thought it was also interesting that, like, for me, I feel like at the bookstore, because there was a moment when Dexter was like not being secret and going through the book. And there was a moment where somebody dropped books, and I think it was the other twin coming. Right. And then I think it was that twin who followed Dexter home, you know, and right. like found out where he lives and everything. But yeah, I feel like probably the twin knows something's going on. He kind of gave him a little bit of an eye in the helicopter, right? Did you guys catch that?
Yeah. I caught that.
Yeah. But yeah, that totally caught me by surprise. But then looking back, I'm like, oh my god, it was so obvious. You know, like Gemini. It was good though.
Right. See, I like the twist. It's like, oh, we're gonna respecting Garrett, and then we're like that as the audience is the same way of thinking that Dexter's thinking. He goes, well, good luck with that. He's in Ash right now.
Yeah.
And then then the other twin shows up, and Dexter's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but I think also the other twin isn't gonna, like, you know, throw up suspicions in front of everyone because he's trying to hide who he is as well. You know what I mean? Like having a twin. And so for whatever reason, at least that's what my takeaway was.
He also probably wants to find out where his brother is, and if he rats out Dexter, he may not get that opportunity to find out where his brother is. He may be thinking along those lines.
That's true. There's also another thing, too, is you mentioned this about how sloppy is Anastasia, Dexter is. I actually have this in my note. I have this in my notes, though. I said, remember when he criticized Lady Vengeance for killing somebody in her apartment or setting up someone to kill someone in her apartment? It's like, well, that's just sloppy. And then here he is doing the same thing that she did, and it's sloppy. We have a few people that are trying to mourn somebody upstairs while you're trying to kill somebody.
Well, there is a bit of a difference, though. Lady Vengeance lured that person to her house. With Dexter, he was just there and surprised him.
Yeah, it was an accident, right? I mean, like, Dexter didn't plan for that. He just happened to have the materials on hand. But also, that was kind of a moment where once the granddaughter's like husband or boyfriend, whoever he is, gave Dexter the ice, I was like, okay, of course something's gonna happen where one of the family members gonna either walk in on Dexter doing something or they're going to like have an opportunity to go into his apartment and snoop around. Like, I was thinking maybe the mom, because I know like she's snoopy about like background checks and stuff. And I was like, that gives her, like, that gives somebody the perfect opportunity. And then what happened? You know, like the dad comes down, and then the classic MO of the show is just getting us to that cliffhanger point where Dexter's like, you know, like, please don't look in the shower or I'm going to have to kill you.
He gets as close as he possibly can without actually seeing it. It's so good.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, who, like, I don't know humans that are going to act like that. Like the landlord, I forget the character's name, but going to like go fix the shower.
Blessing is his name.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know like what human would do that in that circumstance. Well, but
if you think about it though, it's kind of like his home too, though, because Dexter's renting from him, so basically he can just go on ahead and go into the apartment because it does in fact belong to them. So it's like, it's okay, Dex, you don't have to worry about it. I'll go on ahead and find some Advil for myself. And then he sees the curtain and he fixes it. And I'm like, oh no. I'm like, please don't tell me he passed the curtain down or something.
Don't look, I know, and then he has to kill him.
Then he has two bodies that he has to try to explain. But there is some speculation though with Blessing. Some people are expecting him that he could be the New York serial killer.
Yeah.
Ripper, yeah.
I thought of that too. Especially after his story about the darkness in him.
Right.
Yeah, that was like a big, huge thing to unload.
Yeah.
Right now, like just watching the series, I'm like, okay, that person could be the Ripper. That, you know, like everybody, I'm just waiting.
It could be Leon.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe. I feel like that's gonna. I don't know. What do you think, John?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if it's Leon or not, but we speculated it could be the detective that is inside the sheriff. Because don't forget, we see Detective Wallace, and we also see Melvin. But we see the detective and the other detective, right? They're having that conversation. It's like, well, this doesn't match up to what is happening here. We have, this is supposed to be her first kill. And also, too, that the guy that's supposed to be the victim goes, oh, no, I just went there for a conversation. No, you didn't. Because I went back and replayed it. I'm like, you were prepared to sleep with her until she gagged you and woke your ass up. And
he's telling a total different story.
Right. He's trying to make himself look like he's innocent, which he is, but he's also not. But he's also embarrassed because something like this happened. But, you know, he's like, well, if this is the first victim, then why do we have the watch inside the jewelry box if this is her first victim? So then you have Batista who shows up and was like, well, you know how you had that one case that just never gets away, that I always suspected that it was somebody else in the police force. And I thought it was I thought there was another suspect. He goes, well, wasn't Doakes the Bay Harbor Butcher? Goes, no, I'm thinking that Harrison, Dexter winds up, was trying to prove Harrison's innocence by planting the watch, just as he also planted evidence on Doakes. And she goes, this doesn't make sense. Because even whenever even with the body parts, he goes, well, it's just a hunch that I have. And then even calling him Captain Batista. I'm like, he's retired.
Yeah, that got a little confusing. I was like, wait a second. Like, why isn't, because she's very like by the book and like there's no wiggle room. And I was thinking, like, I wonder why she wouldn't, because she's also like pretty ballsy, like calling people on bullshit, right? And not trying to sugarcoat anything. And so I was kind of like, it felt like against character to just kind of stream, like, just go by, like, why are you here? What, like, you're exactly like what you said, John, like, you're retired. What's this deal? You know what I mean? Like, not to say that she would say, like, oh, you're, you know, harassing Harrison or anything, but like, we as the audience know that he is, you know, by the book right now, everything is clear for Dexter, you know, like, there's no suspicions really.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
He's not even on their radar. I mean, now a little bit. It just felt like weird to just kind of like go by that, because that felt like that should be a moment, like, explain yourself, like, what's happening? I think, why are you here?
I think the difference is that Batista is offering an explanation that supports her theory, and I even though it's not 100% by the book, she's from her partner, she's getting no, you're on the right wrong track, you're wrong. But then Batista comes in and lays out, you know, his thoughts on everything, and it supports her theory that it's Harrison that killed the guy. And so I think she is allowing herself to entertain Batista because of that. If he had a different theory, I bet she would shut him down completely.
Right. And also, too, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, later on we find out that she ends up finding out that he's retired. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, later on in the series is like, hey, look, you said that you're a police captain, but I went on ahead and called up Miami Metro, and they said that you retired about 6 months ago. So what are you doing over here doing this case?
Flashing badges left and right. I mean, also, here's a thought. I wonder if her detective partner is working for, like, Dinklage. Like, I wonder
because he said he had the FBI in his pocket.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, to be that against, you know what I mean? Like, there's a point where, like, maybe at some point he would agree a little. I don't know. It just seems like he's too rigid with not wanting to hear any evidence.
And if he ends up being the Ripper, that would go along with him being connected with Dinklage.
I mean, also weird that he's not at the dinners, though, but I understand. I mean, like, they're, I hope that would be a really fun twist, right? And I hope there's an explanation why he doesn't come to the dinners, but I guess that's
because I think it would be very suspect if he did, because he needs to make appearances in the police force, because if he just randomly doesn't show up, they could question certain things within the police force itself. It's like, well, why weren't you here with your partner if something happened to his partner?
Dexter wouldn't know who he is, and I guess all of the other serial killers wouldn't be able to identify him, because he's like one detective out of like, what, 1,000, you know, in New York or something. But yeah, I mean, you know, like, detectives would have off time too, you know, not married to the job. I mean, I guess in some cases, but I assume they have, like, you know, a couple hours of free time. But yeah, I mean, I would love to see a twist like that. So
I'm hoping for the twist for the cop, but also maybe for the driver, though, too.
We only got 4 episodes left, right?
Yeah. Well, we have, three, but yeah, we have 4 right now. But what I wanted to bring up was Harrison imagining killing the landlord. And I geeked out over this because I'm a huge Sopranos fan. So to see Bobby Bacala, even though that's not the actor's name, but to see him show up and he says landlord, and then you have Harrison who's imagining that he actually took a fork and ended up stabbing him in the eye with it. And I really thought that he did that. I really thought that I'm like, how do you explain this to Captain Wallace now? Then I'm like, well, are you going to play around with the fact that there was a little bit of a darkness inside of you? But also too, Dexter also shuts that down. He goes, no, there is still some light in you because you didn't act on that. You just, you use your imagination to do what you thought was what you were going to do. But what did you guys think about that scene?
I thought it was interesting. I don't necessarily think that. I think Dexter's more right that it was just more of an impulse than like a yearning or a darkness in him. I think it's impossible to be around that stuff without it getting into you a little bit. But I don't think Harrison is a killer at heart.
No, I don't think so either. Because he even said it himself. He's like, look, you ended up trying to force this on me. Mm-hmm. He goes, and now I have trauma because of the events that happened in Lake, inside that town that you were at. So, you know, do not put that on me anymore. I'm not like you. So they had that conversation. So, yeah, I do agree with you on that aspect, though, Jason, with that. Then you have Leon making Dexter and the other serial killers meet him at the helicopter. And, you know, this is what I'm thinking, too. So I'm thinking that, number one, he's trying to isolate them from their normal everyday lives to figure them out and to figure out why are people disappearing. And this also puts a mark where killers are going to end up hunting other killers. And it's going to be like Hunger Games style to me inside this mansion of like who's going to survive being a serial killer. But that's just my two cents. I think that we're going to have like a little bit of a Hannibal Lecter sit down meeting dinner with all these serial killers and finding out why certain killers are escaping. And I'm thinking that Mia's already at the compound that they're at. And we're going to get into this whole entire thing now because I know Jason brought it up too, and you guys did. But what if Leon had Mia? Maybe this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking maybe when Charlie, I think they wound up staging that whole entire thing. I'm thinking that Mia is still alive. Like Jason said, the camera angles and then the way she looked and then the timing of Batista and all them coming into there. Dinklage, I mean, you know, Leon actually knew that she wasn't going to rat him out because remember there's a key line that they actually said. Oh, there's a line of reporters and a line of FBI, CIA, and cops that are waiting to question Mia, and she still hasn't given anything up. So good luck to you if you can actually get anything out of her. So he goes, well, maybe if she sees a picture of Dexter, maybe, you know, we'll know for a fact that that was planted or not. So I'm thinking that told Leon, hey, look, she's straightforward. She's not going to rat us out. Let's try and get her out of prison, stage her death, and have her at our compound when we have these other serial killers for a sit-down.
Another thing that supports the theory that Mia is still alive is when Uma Thurman hired the prison guy, like gave him the money, and she never said, like, It never said like that his mission is to kill her. Like, we don't really know what he was hired to do. She just said, you know, do you want a friend or something like that? And handed him the envelope of money, and he nods, and that's it. So we don't know what he was like. Obviously, there's somebody, like a body there. So maybe his job was to kill whoever they replaced Mia with. But he was never given the mission to kill her. We're just led to believe that,
right?
With circumstantial evidence. But yeah, I really, really think she's still alive.
Yeah, maybe they're like running a serial killer's protection program. They're gonna like give her a new life of like so she could continue killing.
I guess they said that she hung herself. Is that right?
Yeah, she hung herself.
I mean, yeah, so somebody's good with makeup because there's a huge, like, you know, like a bruise on whoever's neck.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like her, and maybe I wonder if he gave her some drugs to, like, lower her heart rate or something.
Because, that's what I'm thinking.
When you think about it, like, this day and age, it's like they're going to do blood samples, they're going to do an autopsy, like, they're going to do all these things, so it's going to be hard to trick the system. But maybe he's like greasing other palms along the line, because that was a big stack of cash, you know, that was a lot of money. And so if they're like going to usher her out, that seems about the right amount to get her, you know, if she's alive. And that's going to be an awkward meeting, you know what I mean? Like for everybody to see that, like, oh my gosh, okay, so... I mean, also, it's kind of like, I wonder if, like, Dinklage is using her as an example to the other ones, too, because he is living in a type of danger befriending these killers, you know, that it's kind of like befriending a wild animal. It's like at any moment, mm-hmm. even though you're giving them food, they could strike you. And it's not even their fault. You know, it's just, they're just a wild animal. Mm-hmm. So
especially when they have those urges of wanting to kill.
Yeah, yeah. And I can't wait until we get into the other serial killer. What's his name? Al or something?
Yeah.
From Modern Family. I can't wait because like he's just so like joyous and I
we
just
get to go in the world, like, bird.
Yeah, I want to dive into his like his method and everything.
And I like how he takes the money and puts it in his fanny pack, though, too. He's like, how about some spending money? He's like, okay.
He talked a lot. I don't know if he was supposed to take so much.
Right.
He was like, yoink.
Right. But yeah, I do want to see more of, like you said, Anastasia, of Al, and finding out what his background is and his methods, and not only in his methods, but like, I think that Dexter mentioned that he wanted to figure out how to counterbalance his killing life with his family life as well. So maybe now we get some answers.
I mean, also, okay, so this is kind of like another big thought. Like, I wonder if Al's going to target, because so Harrison's friend, who's like the cleaner who works at the hotel as well, she wears a hair in like a ponytail. And so I'm like doing my like conspiracy theory. Like, are they going to have some kind of like where Al's going after Harrison's friend and then he's gonna kill Al or something and then Dexter comes out of the shadows and then like crazy moment, because you know I just feel like the writers know the audience and they like teasing us in this way. Mm-hmm. Like they like doing these little Easter egg things, and then you know like I like to rewatch the episodes, and especially if there's something fun, like the whole like Gemini
right.
thing. Like I was watching back a few episodes. I'm like, oh my God, it was so obvious. What an idiot.
Well, if you're an idiot, I am too, because it caught me by surprise. I didn't see it.
It did me too as well.
I love those moments too. So yeah. It's like, I can't, you know, it's like, I can't say like, oh, I don't want to be right. And then like, mm-hmm. you know, and then get a surprise. You know, just like a random character switch. But right. I love it.
The other thing I liked though too was like when Dexter's like, well, I wonder if I'm in the book. And he's like number 10, he's in the top 10. And then I like when he finally kills Garrett, he goes, well, guess who's number one on the FBI crime list now? So, but I do like that moment. I was like, he's like in the top 10 and he starts doing a little bio about the Bay Harbor Butcher. I like that little nod to the other seasons. But, you know, I also like the fact too, like that we're so glued into this to where we don't notice certain key quotes or key moments of like that twist that we saw with the twins. For example, we're so invested that we miss little small things. And then whenever it does happen, it's like, okay, I need to go back and rewatch it. And then next thing you know, you have that moment of like, oh, snap, I'm such an idiot for actually not paying attention. But we're just invested into the characters and finding out what's going to happen next and have predictions and things like that. So I love those moments of like, okay, let me go back and rewatch it. Maybe I missed something. I like the rewatchability of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also, I've got to hand it to the actor who plays like Gemini, like David Dulsmulchin. He's so great in everything. I love him. And he's so nuanced and subtle. And I think the one of the fun key parts of the show is that they don't focus too, because I was worried about this huge caliber of a cast. And I was worried about it taking. I was worried about it taking away from Dexter, because that's why I'm watching, because I love Dexter and I want more Dexter. And so I think it's really interesting that the writers have used this killer cast in a way where we just get little blurbs and then we want more of them, opposed to like fighting, like some of these subplots I don't care that much about. Like, I don't care about the family that lives above Dexter that much, just because I'm more invested in what Dexter's like the serial killer aspect of the show.
Me too.
You know? So yeah. I think they're all great actors. I just don't care about that like subplot storyline, which I feel like we're putting too much time in. I'm like, I could get another whole episode of murder. if we took all of that away. But anyways, I love that actor. And he actually works with my niece, Molly Elfman, a lot. She's like this a really great horror producer. So, but he, okay. David, he's such a great actor.
Awesome. I agree. He has this field about him and this gravitas to him to where you become invested, where he loses himself into the character that he plays. And that's what I love. Creepy, man. He is. He gives me goosebumps every single time I see him on screen.
Creepy aura. Just from just sitting in the corner.
Right?
I love that. Yeah. He's so great.
And then Dexter, I like how Dexter switches the drinks around and we're thinking, oh yeah. Snap, did he? And he knew, Dexter knew he was going to do that. So I like that.
Yeah. For a moment, I was like, is he just immune to his own, like, drugs? You know what I mean? Like, the drug that he uses, is he immune to it? Because for a moment, it looked like he was getting a little dizzy, too. But I know
he was trying to play it off.
Yeah. But that was fun.
Yeah.
I was like, how is he going to do this one?
But is there anything else that you guys want to talk about as far as this episode goes? Any predictions, anything that you missed the first time and want to talk about it or anything like that?
Hmm. I think as far as predictions, we went through a lot of them. I'm predicting that Mia's still alive. I really like the idea of the partner being the New York Ripper. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. And then I also think that there's going to be a moment where Dexter and Harrison, where Gemini has Dexter and Harrison, and he's about to kill them, and then they get saved somehow. But I think that is definitely going to happen.
I think so too. I think it's going to put a mark on Dexter and Harrison because of this dinner party, and someone's going to make Dexter. So now Dexter has to watch him and Harrison's back at the same time. So I think it's going to put a mark on him, on them both.
Yeah, I still think we have a lot to learn about Uma's character. And because like we keep on getting these flashes to her mom, and I'm like, this is so out of place and weird. Like, why are we forcing this on us? I mean, I imagine later on, once we find out what's going on with her, it'll make more sense. But right now, it just feels really forced and kind of takes me out because I'm like, what are we doing back with mom? I don't know. But I think also there's more to learn with Dinklage's character. I think he's hiding a lot of stuff. I think maybe he knows Dexter's brother or grew up with him or something's going on. And I think that they both know at this point that Dexter's Dexter, you know, and they're just teasing him with stuff. But I think that there's a lot more to learn. I also agree with the Ripper theory with it being the detective or it's got to come up. They're mentioning it too much. Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird at this point. Like, I would be pissed if it just goes nowhere. But what were you saying, Jason?
I was about to say, like, I was just thinking back to a few episodes ago where he gives the tour of Peter Dinklage gives Dexter the tour of his trophy room. And what you said about how you think that he probably knows that he's Dexter. And I was just like, there's so much that he showed him that is connected to him. And I don't know. At the time I was thinking, man, that's super weird that like, okay, so you see the Gacy clown thing. And then all of a sudden immediately you go into Trinity and then the slides, the
and then also the
things. It's just like,
right, and then also too, the table that he killed his own brother on too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, what about like, we did see like Dahmer's refrigerator, but there's so much more that I don't know. It just felt like it wasn't a coincidence that we went almost straight like these two things or these famous, and then we went straight to Dexter stuff. It could have been you know, Dinklage like psychologically messing with Dexter, like, look at this stuff.
Which feels like something he would want to do, like, because like he's a little bit mean to like the Thurman character, right? So like I feel like he acts like he's a nice guy, but behind the scenes he's very egotistical, like he's watching his own interview, you know. maybe giving himself like taking notes, you know, of like what to share, what not to share. And he's just like, I don't know, he's like really mean to her, which I don't like.
Yeah. Right. He does have, you know what though? He does fit the MO of like a serial killer though, in a sense, because look at American Psycho. He would watch himself on camera while having sex with a prostitute, for example. So it's all about narcissistic. Because of them being so self-entitled.
Yeah, and didn't he tell everyone to bring a trophy? Like, what's that about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is he going to try to get rid of all of them at the same time?
I just looked at him as like a collector who likes to collect stuff from serial killers at that moment. Because here's the thing. The lead singer Korn, Jonathan Davis, at one time he was collecting memorabilia from serial killers. He actually had the car that belonged to Ted Bundy.
Oh, wow. The bug.
And stuff. So, you know, there are people out there that collects it, but he doesn't do that anymore. He actually sold all that stuff and gave that stuff up. But there are what I'm trying to say is there are collectors out there that will collect stuff that belonged to other serial killers and stuff. So I was just thinking to myself, maybe that's just him collecting stuff, so but that actually does raise a good point.
He didn't just say, I just thought of this, but he didn't just say bring a trophy. He also said bring your tools.
Yep.
So I think...
Well, that's probably where John was saying, like, it's going to be a Hunger Games, Battle Royale or something.
I think he's got Mia, and he's going to be like, when do you guys kill her?
Ooh, yeah. Which would be fun for them. Like, they wouldn't see it as a, you know, because, like, I feel like they feel like these people are interchangeable. Like, I don't think that they have any loyalty to each other,
But at the same time, though, he's a backseat passenger, supposedly. So how does a backseat passenger kill Mia? Because, you know, so it raises the question of what Jason said was maybe, does he really know that Dexter that's who Dexter is the Bay Harbor Butcher. So you're not driving in a car to kill Mia. Mia's already there. So what do you do?
Yeah.
You use the little cord and rip her head off.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be moments more like opportunity for Dexter to like kind of slip up. I mean, I'm so angry that he used his finger and he didn't get his box cutter back from Uma and he gave her his hat. You know what I mean? Like, so right. I feel like we're going to get more opportunities where like, maybe he's going to go for trying to get a blood sample or so, you know what I mean? And then he's going to be like,
now my wheels are turning because
a lot of that stuff might come back too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm pissed that it went nowhere, but it's obvious. It's like,
With the hat, he can get a hair samples.
Yeah. So, no, he's being very goofy right now, and I'm worried for our boy.
I am too. He's like so sucked into this life of, I have an open engagement to this party, and I can finally be myself to the point where he's ignoring everything else that could actually make him suspect. So that's just my two cents. But yeah, guys, I think this is a great episode. I really enjoyed watching it. Twice I ended up watching it Friday and then I rewatched it again before the review like I normally do. There's a few announcements I want to get to real quick. I will be doing a Rookie of the Year review coming up. That's gonna be another live show at 8:00 Central Time, 9:00 Eastern Time for that with my friend Zoe from the Back Look Cinema podcast. Rossi will be on the show with me, my co-host. She will be back on the show with me on the 13th. We're doing Final Destination Bloodlines. We're actually doing that review at 8:00 Central Time, 9:00 Eastern Time. And then Doom Generation podcast is joining me on the 14th for Airborne. And then after that, on the 20th, I think Beth is going to be joining me for Summer School. But that's everything that we have going on over here at Movie Lovers Unite. Next month, we're not going to do that many live shows or anything. It's all going to be pre-recorded and stuff like that for you guys so you guys can enjoy it. Don't forget to give me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, where you guys get your podcast from. Also, to visit Rossi at Rossi's Clubhouse. She has a fantastic show over there. She interviews directors, music, rappers, and stuff like that. Check her out. And always, until next time, guys, have a great and safe day. And thank you, Jason. Thank you, Anastasia, for joining me for this. And we'll catch you guys on the next one, guys. Bye-bye. Absolutely.
In a town blanketed in snow, A man hides his truth beneath layers of flannel and plastic